open my eyes to the world that shines in you. Open my eyes to the world that shines in you. Let me see you brightening the air. Let me see you playing everywhere. For your light that's shining free, I give all I am to thee. Open my eyes to the world. Open my eyes to the world.
This is Elizabeth Joyce with Let's Find Out. Tonight is Christmas night 2016, and I want our show to be filled with wonderful holiday music, bells, harps, toning, upliftment, and heartwarming messages, while I'm trying to give you a picture of what's ahead with your spiritual growth. I want to thank William Vitalis for the opening song, Open My Heart to the World. And may this year, 2017, coming in, open our heart to this world and all the other world, which is really what this shift that's happening right now is all about, opening our heart to the world. Each year at Christmas time, there are always strong vibrations of the Christ consciousness in the air. Those who are attuned by their devotion and deep scientific meditation, as well as deep morning meditation and nightly review, will receive within their own consciousness these vibrations of universal consciousness that was in the man who walked the planet 2,000 years ago, Jesus Christ. What's happening is our human bodies are now aligned and attuned to that same great energy known as the double helix, beaming down to us from the center of our galaxy, uplifting us into a wonderful new consciousness realization called the fifth dimension. Tonight is dedicated to uncovering the hidden truths of scripture, messages from the divine, self-realization exercises, and a beautiful final closing meditation. Thank you for listening to Let's Find Out tonight, Christmas night, 2016. Was the timber and the glorious harmony of the Mormon Tabernacle Choir singing Angels We Have Heard on High. And now that we've brought in the angels, we can even go to a higher state of consciousness. Some updated fifth dimension awareness for you. We have just completed an 18-year era that began for most of us in 1998-99. Now, that era of time, those places we were placed, those experiences we went through, always for our spiritual growth, is over. And we have to take a deep breath, do some pondering, meditation, perhaps some reorganization. Maybe we have to leave lives. Maybe we have to move, change jobs. Whatever our challenge is, it's time for us to go forward with compassion and the power of love to realign and redesign ourselves and our future. I want to share with you a few words that were sent to me by the great author Adrian Gilbert of the UK when I was writing the first book on Ascension, Accessing the Fifth Dimension. This is what Adrian had to say. I know Elizabeth understands from personal experience the difficulties that confront all of us, the path as we move along from one level or dimension to the next. Which of us, on taking up yoga or meditation for the first time, has not felt the reproach of old friends and family members? Have we not all experienced guilt, or even worse, worry that we are traitors for not staying true to the outlook or religious beliefs that were given to us by our parents? These are common experiences, yet they are seldom written about or talked about, at least not without such clarity and understanding as they are here by today's teachers and gurus. There are gems coming to us from the universe as we enter into these higher levels of consciousness and into the embodiment of oneness and love. Just recently, my own daughter, Alice, moved from primary to secondary school, from being a big fish in a little pond to being a little fish in a much larger lake. In time, she will grow out of the big school too, perhaps passing through a university before going out to an even bigger world of work. As a parent, I know that with each transition, she will experience the joy, pain, exhilaration, and fear of transition from one world to another. That's what we are really going to begin to notice and walk through as the year 2017 unfolds. Elizabeth points out that the same thing is true of spiritual experiences as our worldly experiences. As we transit from one level to another, so we go from being a little fish to a big fish to a little fish all over again. Yet, and this is one of the most curious aspects of living on the planet Earth, though we may move on internally in our spiritual awareness, externally, we are still all humans. Thus, unlike at school where transition level means a new classroom or even buildings, here on Earth, we find ourselves rubbing shoulders with those who are more advanced than ourselves and others who are still in kindergarten. In this context, I love Elizabeth's analogy of Earth being like an airplane, as she reminds us we don't know who we are going to end up sitting next to or what their inner world will be like. Very likely it will be completely different from our own. Our neighbor in the next seat may be interested in boxing or stock car racing while we have a passion for ballet. Yet for the duration of that flight, we are going to be overlapping auras and breathing the same air that somehow we know has to help and guide us to get along, at least for the few hours of the flight. Yet for the duration of the flight, we are going to be overlapping auras. We're going to be breathing the same air, and somehow we all have to get along. It's a perfect analogy for life on Earth, a planet where we share breathing space and some 8 billion other souls, most of them coming from cultures entirely different from our own, as well as living on different planes of being. How do we cope with all this? Especially as we go into this year when so very much has changed all over the world. Can feel a little frightening. How do we stop ourselves from being pulled off our spiritual path by those who, for the most part unconsciously, want us to stay in the third or fourth dimensional world when we want to raise our consciousness and access ourselves upward to the fifth or sixth dimension? These are big questions and actually of as much importance to our success as learning special techniques for meditation or unraveling the enigma of the pyramids. I am therefore very pleased to read that Elizabeth has addressed this problem too in her book Ascension, Accessing the Fifth Dimension. Even more important is her warning, couched in sympathetic rather than judgmental terms, that people must not misuse the power or the gifts of knowledge that they have achieved through working on themselves, and much more of this knowledge will be coming in the next 18 months. The temptation to use the charisma and authority of being a guru figure in order to obtain financial advantage or sexual flavors is a major when you're on this path. It's not just morally reprehensible, and one thinks here of the university professor seducing awestruck university graduates, as well as the Mahatma, who sees nothing wrong in building an impressive fleet of Rolls Royces at the expense of his cellas or students, but it's an impediment to the teacher's own progress. For those who find themselves in this advantageous position of being the big fish in the little pond, please remember that this is a sign that you should be seeking a larger pond. It does not mean that it's your turn to exploit those who seek your help. This is timely work and very much needed since the transition that we all went through in 2012, as we opened up to the ability to access and use these fabulous and powerful divine energies from the other worlds. Elizabeth reminds us that it is not enough to know these things, but we must make sure we have our eyes open to our own faults and peccadilloes. As the second stargate opens and our airplane, the Earth, comes into land, we, as its passengers, must prepare to disembark and go to our own separate pods and destinations. From Adrian Gilbert of Hindenburg, England. Thank you, Adrian. For further information about Adrian Gilbert, the book that he wrote that I love the best is Signs in the Sky, and it's available at Amazon.com. We move on to discuss how we will be working universally with a higher consciousness. I'd like to talk about one thing that's been a tremendous block to us and has been extremely visible during this year of 2016 and the presidential election time of 2016. And that's prejudice. We have been struggling on several fronts in dealing with people who hold deep prejudice. I have come to understand a few things about prejudice. It is a spiritual sickness. People who have a prejudice are not aware that they have it. It's like being simultaneously born black and blind. How can you tell? It leaves me concerned about what prejudice that I may have. Those who have prejudice cannot objectively describe the idea, situation, from the other side. They simply think that their concepts are fact. Those who have a prejudice often feel and express anger towards the object of their prejudice. The anger is often expressed in very demeaning words and methods. Reasoning will not change the prejudiced person's point of view, at least not in the short run. Discussions to help guide them to understand fall on deaf ears. I know of no way to break through the veil of prejudice. Anyone with any suggestions, please let me know. Yes, I am sure that prayer and fasting are recommended, but given the requirements of those, the spiritual requirements, and the matter of free will, I do not feel confident that people are going to be any too willing to drop their prejudices and come into the awareness of unity and love. However, this has to be done to raise our consciousness, the overall world consciousness, to the higher levels of the fourth and fifth dimension. And luckily, I believe we're on the way. So maybe that's a little bit of part of the Christmas magic that's happening this year. I want to go into another song on this Christmas night for you to listen to. And perhaps your heart can open a little bit to the idea of our capacity of awakening into the great Christ consciousness of love. For greater than the destructive force of hate is the compassionate power of love. Here's Elizabeth Hepburn with "And Peace Begins."
Just being kind, and peace begins. We'll change the world in subtle ways. A word of praise, and peace begins. Don't look for peace in far-off lands. It happens here where we are living. And all it takes is our forgiving. It has to start with you and me. We tell the truth, we play it fair, we learn to care, and peace begins. A helping hand, a friendly smile. We talk a while, and peace begins. A promise made, a promise kept. We say we will, and so we do it. We take a vow, and then renew it. A handshake is our guarantee. We try to when tensions arise, a common ground, a compromise. And when we do, we realize that loving wins. Then all the blame and all the fear will disappear, and peace begins. troubles come, we stand aside. Let love abide and peace begins. We make our choices every day. When peace is ours, we radiate it. It only comes when we create it. It's up to you, it's up to me. When every man and woman too will take the time to talk it through, then peace will come, because it's true that loving wins. Without a sound, the battle's done, the war is won, and peace begins. This
is Elizabeth Joyce with Let's Find Out on BBSRadio.com. Tonight is Christmas night, and I am presenting to you a Christmas show, calling all of you to your own ascension, to your vibration becoming higher, and to walk within the higher dimensions. Our physical body, our functioning, our thinking, and our hearts. Let everybody begin to follow suit. That was Elizabeth Hepburn with And Peace Begins. Since the miracle of 2012 and the release of that powerful double helix energy, we have all been working universally with the collective consciousness. What profound awakening is happening within you? Please let me know. I would love to hear from you. Any questions that you have about what's happening within, any concerns that you have about coming into the new dimension, I would be happy to work with you, talk about it, and see if we can come to understand with what's going on. The idea of a multi-universe stretches our capacity to understand and imagine. It demands an awakening of true vision and signifies a profound rebirth of the soul. This is a time that precipitates decision and commitment. Something that was hidden from us is now revealed, and we look at the world with clearer eyes and a larger understanding. All the dead part of ourselves are called back into life, and we have a new opportunity at last to fulfill our potential. Our mission, our soul value, and awaken all that is in us that we've had lifetime after lifetime. All the information has one purpose in mind, to assist you with your personal ascension, to enable you to raise your vibration. Why? Because as you raise yourself and your vibration, you raise the vibration of everyone living on this planet, as well as the planet. The if factor is that situation which is necessary to make us happy. So, for example, if I meet the one, I'll be complete. The problem is that until we reach that if, we will never be complete. When we think, so I have to give up on my dreams to be happy, I don't want to do that. What's the point of life without dreams? Or a similar thought, and that is how the if factor gets us. The if factor hooks us. If I don't meet my soulmate in this lifetime, then there's nothing to live for, or there's nothing that I can do, or I won't be happy, or I don't want to live anymore. You see, it's not the end result that we need to release. It's the dependency on it. It's the if we want and need to release in order to be complete. Ascension is the expansion of awareness. This expansion of awareness comes naturally when we remove fear, as well as debilitating programming and firewalls and other low vibrations from our lives. A lot of it is the patterning that we had drilled into us as we grew up. Why is this evolution called ascension? Because our overall vibration becomes higher, and we are able to tap into and work within the higher dimensions. Do we take our bodies with us? Our physical body is a key element of functioning within the solid three-dimensional environment on the planet Earth. When we start moving into a higher vibration in our lives, our bodies and minds will follow suit, but not in the way that we think. This is why often foods and chemicals that we were able to enjoy or absorb for our entire life will make us sick for a while, the time it takes for the physical body to adapt to the new vibrational environment. By detoxing our bodies and keeping them sugar-free and toxin-free, we help the body to help us in our expansion of awareness. Of course, ascension is used by others to mean all sorts of things. By default, we have to use our minds in order to absorb the information. However, the mind is very much a part of our ego body and not a tool that will facilitate our ascension in a practical way. Yes, it helps us finding out what ascension is all about, but on a practical level, it cannot help. In fact, the only way that we can start our journey of ascension is by quieting the mind and centering our viewpoint on the point of attention of our heart center. It is very difficult to do this just through meditation, but we can help things along by practicing the art of heartfelt reaction to situations and people in our daily life. I call this reaction loving responses. This is how it works. Did you know that we can choose how we react on an emotional level to everything that happens around us? This is not a voluntary reaction, but a programmed one. We are programmed to react to things in certain ways, and we've been programmed our entire life. The way we react is very important because it's the vibrational blueprint that creates our reality. It is not about controlling our immediate reactions or burying negative conditions. It's about counting to 10, taking a deep breath, and then observing our reaction to things. Afterward, see if the reaction harmed you or healed you. If it harmed you, then remove yourself from that situation and look back at it without judgment. See yourself as every participant in the situation. This is because in oneness, you are every participant. Allow the emotions to express themselves, thank them, and then simply replace them with love, gratitude, and happiness. Don't be afraid about forgetting or losing something, whether a situation, a memory, or a learning experience. Keep the things you feel you must, but release anything that is hurting you and move on. If the negative emotion is too great, then simply breathe into your heart center for as long as it takes to ease that greatness, to ease that pain. By taking your attention there and looking out into the world from inside your heart. Life is long, and you will have ample opportunity to practice this exercise over and over again. The more you practice it, the easier it will be to expand your awareness. As you begin to work with the spiritual chakras, you will be able to access the higher heart center in the 10th chakra to help you release your old programming and to really begin to ascend. Opening your spiritual chakras is the next stage of your physical body's shifting reality. Your body is now merging with your etheric or universal body and the new spiritual chakra centers. You will begin to experience a realm of many vibrant prismatic colors and dancing energy patterns will emerge.
By opening your spiritual chakras and merging with your universal body, you will come together in marvelous ways, and new spiritual powers will begin to emerge into your body system. The chakras are your major energy centers, and they allow you to transform your physical body and integrate with its spiritual body to function properly in the new fifth dimension energy. To accomplish these complex intertwining procedures, the spiritual hierarchy intends to bring forth four additional chakras as soon as possible: the eighth, the eight and a half, the ninth, and the tenth. These four new chakra centers will permit you to manage the immensity of multidimensional information inherent to your new physical body. The physical body will be walking in sync with the universal body. In addition, the four spiritual chakras will transform the other seven, thereby allowing them to take on many new responsibilities. Elizabeth Joyce has created a new CD to help you open your spiritual chakras. This is very valuable and is one of the primary ways needed for you to begin the ascension process and work well in the fifth dimension energies that are now coming onto the planet. In addition to the four spiritual chakras and the seven regular physical chakras, there is an extra chakra, the foot chakra, or the zero chakra. This is your earth grounding center, and it is located at the balls of your feet. Above the crown chakra are four more numbers, 8, 10, 11, and 12. The main purpose of these extended chakras, which has always been a part of the energetic field, including our aura, is to enable the individual to tune into his or her inner God self, the divine will, and even the galactic community that surrounds and supports the earth in its evolution.
I realize that we're all very different. We have different languages, different colors, different belief systems. We worship our different saviors, our different lords, our different gods in our own way. But we are living on the planet Earth, and we are finding a way for us all to cohabitate together with love, peace, and harmony. That is one of the rules of ascension. That is what's coming. And here's Barbara Streisand to help us get a little bit more of an idea of what I'm talking about.
Millions of stars placed in the skies by one God. Millions of us lift up our eyes to one God. So many children calling to him by many a different name. Children calling out loud by name.
That was Barbra Streisand with One God. This is Elizabeth Joyce on Let's Find Out at bbsradio.com. And it's Christmas night. And we are working with bringing you a program of music and information. It's called Ascension Christmas. And so I'm teaching you what's coming as we ascend into a whole new paradigm over the next 30 to 50 years. We're going to take a station break, and after that, we're going to come in and talk about the crystal, indigo, and far-seeing children that are coming and have already arrived on the planet.
You're listening to Let's Find Out on bbsradio.com. Station 2. If internet radio has a name, it's BBS Radio, the number one live internet radio talk show on the planet. It's Let's Find Out, and honored guests come every Sunday night at 9 p.m. Eastern and 6 p.m. Pacific. If you'd like to call in and ask a question, dial 888-429-5471. Again, that's 888-429-5471 in the U.S. and Canada. If you're just tuning in and would like to hear this show in its entirety tomorrow, you can download it at the archive link at bbsradio.com. Remember, if it's not mainstream, it's BBS Radio.
If I were a poet, I would write a sonnet. It would say, I love you, your name would be on it. If I were a farmer, I'd give you a bunny. If I had a beehive, you would get free honey. Fa la 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 la. If I were a baker, you could have a cruller. If I were a painter, choose your favorite color. If I had some diamonds, I'd give you a few. Anything to show you how much I love you. Fa la 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 la. Did you guess my secret? I am not a poet. Couldn't write a sonnet, and I think you know it. I am not a farmer. Can't give you a bunny. I don't have a beehive. Sorry about the honey. La 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 la. I am not a baker, don't know bread from batter, and I'm not a painter, and it doesn't matter. I don't need a present, all I have to do is look at you to show you how much I love you. Fa la 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 la.
That was Kermit the Frog from Sesame Street, Dreamy Time Songs. And the song was, If I Were. In the 1960s and increasingly through the 1970s and 1980s, people started noticing certain behaviors in children that had not been documented before. They noticed children that seemed to process emotions differently. They were very intuitive and could easily sense all the energies around them. In other words, they read energy. These differences, along with other characteristics of indigo children, became the criteria that defines indigo children as a group. Since they were first noticed in the population as indigo children, that population has increased, and some believe that as much as 90% of the children born today are indigos. In their definitive book on the indigo children, Leo Carroll and Jan Tober provide the following definition. The indigo child is a boy or girl who displays a new and unusual set of psychological attributes, revealing a pattern of behavior generally undocumented before. This pattern has singularly unique factors that call for parents and teachers to change their treatment and upbringing of these kids and to assist them in achieving balance and harmony in their lives and help them avoid frustration. This definition provides a basic understanding of who the indigo kids are. However, it can be more difficult task to understand of how to apply this definition to determine if one is an indigo child or not. What's important to understand is that indigo children bring with them a lesson of new consciousness and a new way of perceiving the world. This brings with it the possibility for a better world with increased understanding, a higher level of tolerance and harmony, and a new hope for everyone. There are four types of indigos, each exhibiting their own unique skills and traits. These types are the artist. Exhibiting a more creative side, the artists are more sensitive and are interested in anything having to do with the arts. They will become our actors, painters, and musicians. The conceptual. They are tomorrow's scientists, engineers, computer developers, and technology leaders. The humanist. These children are high energy, sociable, and friendly. They will typically end up in a role where they are helping people. Interdimensional. Less common than the previous three, these are our visionaries. They will bring in new philosophies and religions to the world. The title Indigo Children was originally given to people with the 10 attributes described below, who were mainly born between the period of 1975 and 1995. Some sources use the term crystal children, which was the next generation that came after the indigo, to describe indigos at a young age, younger than the age of 7, and some state that the children being born today, after the year 2000, are crystal children, the millenniums, who are more sensitive and spiritually connected than the indigos, who they claim are more warrior-like in nature. Carroll and Tober have not detailed why their classification is particularly more insightful or accurate, but the indigos are the creators of the path for the new world. They are generally born with a warrior spirit, with a collective purpose to try to stop the old systems that no longer serve us. This can be seen as a bit bratty, as a child can come into the world with the "I deserve to be here" mentality. They are here to recreate the fundamentals of government, education. To accomplish this, they generally have determination, fiery determination, and sometimes a bit of a temper. Indigos know when they are being lied to, patronized, or manipulated. They are going to be our technology leaders of the future. They are the doers, the thinkers, and let's get it done. Let's bring it into form. Since their purpose is to usher in to us a new world of integrity, the indigo's inner lie detectors are crucial. A lot of indigos end up being diagnosed with ADHD, and they are quite sensitive and literally exist as a higher mind at a faster-paced level. The crystal children have appeared on the planet between 1990 and 2010, although few accounts came earlier. Their main purpose is to take us to the next level of our evolution and to reveal to us our inner and higher power. They function as a group consciously rather than as individuals, and they live by the law of one or global oneness. They are advocates for love and peace on this planet. They are the leaders, and they are going to bring us the wonderful evolution and ascension and reveal to us the existence and possibility of knowing and communicating with friends, children, families, and others from other worlds. They are mainly born into the golden ray of incarnation and evolution, which means they have access to gift of clairvoyance and healing. They are born with their ninth chakra ready to be activated, and they are very attached to the 8th, 9th, 10th, and 11th chakras that are the new spiritual chakras. They have born on a dimension of consciousness which is the potential to open up rapidly to the ninth dimensional level of the Christ consciousness, and then from there to the 12th dimension, which represents universal consciousness. Crystal children, auras aren't specifically opalescent, but are octrane, which is a color that isn't in the normal vision range of human eye, but that is a manifestation color of highly magical. It's the color of amber. It's yellow and golds all mixed in together into a new amber. And it's a color octave entirely above any that we have seen at this point. They have beautiful pastel hues to them. To the untrained eye, it appears to be without color at all, therefore a crystal, clear quartz. But to the extremely high frequency of the energy field, that's what gives it away. The first thing you will recognize about crystal children is their forgiving nature. They are very sensitive, warm, and caring. Don't mistake these characteristics as a sign of weakness, as crystal children are also very powerful. The crystal child is incredibly sensitive, which stems from the ability to feel universal consciousness. You won't be able to hide anything from these children. You won't be able to lie to them either, as they all well know immediately what the truth is. It is important to mention that crystal children know what is in your thoughts, and even more importantly, what is in your heart. This is another reason why they are so sensitive. Children with a crystal vibration have the ability to reflect things back to the universe that are of no more importance to them. Not only will they reflect this energy back, they will reflect it in such a way that it's stronger than when it was taken in. The indigo and crystal children work together to tear down archaic systems and build up new ones. Again, parents of these special children need to realize that they have agreed to bring in these wise and powerful children into the world, whose mission it is throughout the globe as a whole, not just individuals and individual families. They are here to work on the energy grids, to raise our vibrational frequencies, to help facilitate global changes for a more peaceful earth, and bring ascension to every individual walking this planet. It's important to support these gifted young children and to be cautious and not to stress them or put them in busy environments. Like indigo, crystal children will also help raise the vibrational frequency of their parents. Crystals have a way of drawing other people with the correct energy to interact in family life. Parents of crystal children will be gifted greatly with these incredible children through their powerful, loving, and creative energies. These children, with their higher level of consciousness, should be considered equals in families. They should be involved in family issues and allowed to give opinions and solutions to problems. Don't forget, they are on a much higher frequency level than many of their parents. This is Elizabeth Joyce with Let's Find Out. We have come to the end of our Ascension Christmas 2016 show. Next week is New Year's night, and I will be having another show such as this with my 2017 predictions and more information about ascension and working universally with the collective consciousness. Please prepare for our closing meditation. With both feet flat on the floor, spine straight, take some deep breaths, and be ready to receive.
Thank you. Hallelujah.